Thank you so much. Hi, this is Foster Brown, the co-host of the program. Shane Hamlin, Eddie Rudell, and myself are ready to go, ready to answer your questions. This is a unique experience for you, an opportunity for you to get hold of somebody who has worked with computers for a long time and give you some answers to the questions you have. The way you do that is by calling right now, 800-859-0957. 800-859-0957. First come, first serve. We'll get to you right away. This is the working part of our program, at least for the guys who are in the studio here.
What do you do during the first part, then?
I work.
Oh, okay.
We all just sit back.
No, I'm teasing about that. But this really is a part, folks, where we bring all the experience that Ed has as a tech who works with GM Networks right now, but has worked in many, many different areas. In fact, Ed put a post on Facebook this week saying that he was bored and he's looking for some computers to repair, and he got five offers, including my own, yeah. My grandson's, I should say, and thank you. He's working on that right now.
Well, it's either that or do the deck, so I'm glad I get to work on the computers, yeah.
And Shane Hamlin is here, and by the way, he is from his very own computer store where you guys work in Sterling Heights.
Comptech Services, right on Shaner Road in Sterling Heights, Shaner 19.
So you're going to get service here if you give us a call. And the number is 800-859-0957. As we've often said, the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. So this is a great time to get them in. Now, Shane, who are the three people, the last ones to win in this last hour?
The Nain Rouge book. Carol, Joyce, and Paul.
Congratulations to you, Carol, Joyce, and Paul. And we'll be getting those out in the mail to you. It pays to listen to the Internet Advisor. Well, while we're waiting here for folks to get off of the hammock in the backyard, although it may be raining a little bit, and get on the phones, we will give them a number again, 800-859-0957. Shane, you, yes. You had a plea.
Yes, it's a plea. You know, we get a lot of listeners that come into our store, mm-hmm. and they'll come in, they'll ask a question or want me to look at something, and I'll spend some time with them, and we'll go through some of their issues or problems, or even make a sale. And as they're leaving, then they say, "Boy, your voice does sound like it does just on the show, just like it does on the show." And I'm thinking, well, why wouldn't you say that at the beginning?
Yeah.
So I know, because I'd like to meet our listeners.
Sure.
So when you come in, say you're a listener. So we have, you know, I'd like to talk about the show sometimes with you and see how it's going and take advice, or you have any tips, you know, for us.
Yep. And by the way, I should say there's something else that we did last week when you guys were gone, and I added it to the bottom. If you go to the very bottom of our homepage, internetadvisor.net, there is a place that says Your Trusted Computer Repair Shops. If you click on that, you're going to see a whole bunch of different sites that, for instance, have Shane's shop in it, but a number of other ones that you, the listeners, have recommended to us. And by the way, I want to say this to those folks who are listening to us on our affiliates in Grand Rapids, Lansing, Kalamazoo, and in the Muskegon area. Please send us your information as well. If you have a place that you deal with, a computer shop like Comptech Services, where you know the people there, you trust them, they do good service, please give us that information. Send us an email with information about that shop and how to get in touch with them. And what we'll do is we'll put that into that trusted computer repair shop thing there. Because we had somebody, for instance, who got hold of us by email and said, you know, he was working with a church in the Toledo area, mm-hmm. and he wanted to have some folks to come and on-site take a look at, I think, the two or three computers. Well, first of all, we want to have people to do it remotely, and we said, not probably a good idea. It'd be better to have them come out. Well, we looked up a couple of sites that were recommended in the area, and you'll see those as one's called Geeks On-Site, and the other is Computer Renaissance, and those folks are now in that trusted computer repair shop list, but that's the kind of thing we'd like to do.
It's a hard thing to find, is it? A trusted computer guy.
Oh, man.
Just like a mechanic, auto mechanic.
That's true.
A dentist, any of those things. That,
yeah. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've worked with, family members, friends, and they've said, I've given this computer to someone. They had it for days, and they couldn't figure it out.
Right, right.
And I said, it's just right there. It's so simple.
Right.
You know, but they just, you know.
Simple.
And they may be backlogged in the store as well when they, you know, when they get the request.
You know, so if it's good, I mean, if you know a good shop, you know a good person that does this, you know, let us know.
Guys, I want to put to you an email that we got this week that to me it makes me kind of upset. But tell me how you would respond to this. Let's see, it's from Tom. And he says, both my mom, who is 84, and my wife recently bought new computers equipped with Windows 8. They were at least acclimated, in quotes, to Windows 7. They hate, capital letters, Windows 8. And I must agree with them. I no longer am able to help them with issues because I can't figure it out myself. Someone should be fired. It is a malicious software. I've never heard that used before.
Wow.
Anyway, he says, how can they switch back to Windows 7 really or virtually so they can again use their computers? Help. How would you respond to that, Ed?
Well, the guy that did roll out Windows 8 was fired.
That's right, Sanofsky.
I'm sorry, he did. He left. Right
he
there.
Left. Yeah, with some help.
And
I think.
You know, I don't. I'm not sure how to answer that. Microsoft has a number of updates. Yeah. You can buy, you could download shells that make it look just like Windows 7.
But yes, you can. But even now, I think Ed. Yes, you're right. We should. What are some of those? We should put those up there because. There, I let you guys dig into that. There are shells, as Ed said. A shell essentially is you see a skin on the screen that looks as if you're in Windows 7.
Yes.
However, I have to say that Windows 8.1, the update, has brought a lot of that stuff back. For instance, you can left-click on that, or right-click, rather, on the bottom left on the Windows...
The Windows icon.
The Windows icon that's in the bottom left of your desktop, for instance. If you right-click on that, it will pop up everything you would see before in a list now instead of, maybe some of the ways that you saw before. But you see everything in there. You'll see control panel and you'll see, task manager and programs and features. Everything's in there.
Yep, programs. Right. Everything's listed right. With printers, everything's listed right there.
Another thing they did, for instance, in the update was the upper right-hand corner now has a right arrow that you can click on to close a page.
Now, well, one of the sites that Shane brought to our attention, Ninite.com, basically, there's a program there called Classic Shell.
Okay.
Okay, and then what that'll do is it make it look as much as possible like Windows 7, Windows Vista.
Okay, when we come back, we'll be taking your call at 800-859-0957. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. Once again, the phone number is 800-859-0957. And believe me, your question is not a dumb question unless you don't ask it. Because very often when you ask a question, especially the simple ones, we love those, we really are helping a lot of other people besides just you. So it really is worth it to do that kind of question. Eddie.
You know, I was talking to a buddy this week, and I related to him about that oven story, about how I reflowed video chips on a motherboard. And he was having difficulty with the laptop. And this is a buddy that I've known for many, many years. And I thought he was pretty technical, but he really didn't know what an ISO was, an ISO image for a CD. And we provide those on our website and, live CDs. And basically, an ISO image is, think of it as an image that could be applied to a blank CD, and it'll make it bootable or it could contain a movie.
Explain bootable for some people who are listening.
Well, most laptops and desktops in the last 10 years have been configured to check to see if you have a bootable DVD or CD in your computer so that you can use your manufacturing restoration CDs.
So what will happen is if you have that in the tray and it's an ISO bootable CD, it will start up right away. That's the notion of being bootable.
If you apply the ISO image, which is a CD or DVD image, to the unit. And we have a number of those on our website. The Heron's Boot CD, which is an ISO image. And if you create that and you Windows 8, Windows 7, even Vista, you drag and drop it to the DVD or the blank CD, and it knows that it takes this image and copies it to the CD, and it just so happens that the image is bootable. And I was so surprised that my buddy Jenny just never got that straight. And I had to explain it to him seven different ways to heaven, and then he finally clicked. It just clicked. And I'm like, And I was wondering, well, if he didn't get it, probably our listeners didn't get it.
I'm glad you explained the ISO, because to be honest with you, I thought, I'll just drag it over there and burn it onto the DVD. But if it's not an ISO image, you can't boot from it.
No. It's not even you're missing it. An ISO image is basically, it can contain anything. It's an entire, maybe I'm not explaining it right. It's an entire image of the CD.
Yes.
Okay. It could be bootable. Yes. It could be a movie. It could be whatever you want it to be. It's just, and he was trying to think more into it. When he would read website forums about how to create a bootable CD, he thought he had to download a utility, and then he had to find load an operating system that would make it bootable, edit the menu system. No. If you download Heron's Boot CD, it's an ISO image. You drag and drop it. It then becomes, after it's done burning to the CD, it's a bootable image. And you can use the utilities on there to recover your data files from a computer that's
stopped booting. And by the way, folks, that's available in our toolkit where Ed's put that. You can do that exactly what he said, and it'll have a lot. It's called Hirens, H-I-R-E-N-S.
Use it every day.
Yeah. All right, let's go to our phone calls, and thank you very much for giving us a call here, by the way. 800-859-0957. Open for your questions or comments. Ben, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Foster. Running the combine right now.
Oh, Ben Carpenter, how you doing? Ben's out in Jackson, right? Now, or near Adrian, I should say.
Adrian area.
Yeah. So what your comment on the screen here, it says you love Windows 8.
Oh, yes, I do. I got a laptop with Windows 8 on and a desktop with Windows 7. I just soon use Windows 8 as I would 7.
Tell me why. Now, by the way, folks, for those of you, the fellow that wrote into us that he has his mother-in-law's, or his mother's 84 and his wife, they just can't stand Windows 8. Why do you think people find Windows 8 so hard to use, Ben?
Well, one of the things about it is that it comes up different than Windows 7 or XP or some of the old ones did. Mm-hmm. And if they got used to that, then they don't understand what's happening when the computer boots up.
Right.
And I rearranged they call it the start menu.
Right.
And I put my own icons on there to start programs that I want to use and so forth. It just works beautiful.
I thought, and guys, comment on this if you would. I thought the beauty of Windows 8 was, especially with the tiled interface, start that has given so many people the heebie-jeebies, the beauty of that was you could limit what you needed to know or touch.
It could be so customizable. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. If you've got a program, you can pin it to that start menu.
Right.
And from then on, you just click on that icon that's on the start menu, and you've got it.
You know, I really think Microsoft, what they were trying to do is de-geekify the Windows environment. So you didn't have to be technical to use it.
Right.
So many people are intimidated by
it. Are there any good tutorials out there, guys,
people? There's tons of them out there. In fact, a lot of people don't even realize this. If they just go online to Microsoft's website and register the Microsoft Store near them, they can go get all the free training they want just showing up during their seminars, their little training tutorials that they have all week.
So that's the in-store training. Yes. Apple does the same thing, by the way, folks. So that's the same thing. Well, if you're a new Apple customer, you get some of the training free, but the rest of it you have to pay for. You're right. With Microsoft, you can go into the store. And there are tutorials online, I think. Videos,
correct,
aren't there?
Lots of videos. If you look for, you know, beginners Windows 8, you'll see tons of videos out there on YouTube and whatnot. They're all over the place.
So, Ben, you've been around for a few years. Am I right?
Yes, I have.
you're in your 80s, aren't you?
No, I'm 76.
Okay, 76. Sorry, I didn't want to put any more years on you than I had to there. But in any case, what advice would you give to an older person who's listening right now, who has this kind of attitude that they've got Windows 8 and it's making them crazy and I want to get out of here and how do I go back to 7? What advice would you give to them?
Be patient and learn it.
Yeah.
The big thing that happened to me, the 30th of January, we took off and we didn't get home till 28th of March.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my laptop with me, Windows 8. You learn to use it.
So you had to use it, basically. You were forced to learn. So
yes. And in the process, I learned how to put icons on the start menu and move them around and eliminate some of them that I wasn't going to use.
That's
and
exactly
so
it.
Forth. And it just works beautiful once you get it set up.
Now, do you have a touch screen, Ben?
Oh, yes, I got touchscreen.
Yeah, and
but I use a mouse more than I do the touchscreen.
Yeah, and my wife has Windows 8 on our old desktop, so she uses a mouse on it. I have a Surface Pro 2, and I can use either the mouse or I can use the pen, which I kind of find nice. But the thing about touchscreen, I love the touchscreen so much so that when I'm on my Mac, I'm on that 13-inch MacBook Pro, there's finger marks all over my screen because I'm constantly reaching and touching the screen and trying to push things around, and they don't move.
I got used to the mouse, and I guess that's partly why I use the mouse more than I do the touchscreen. But I use a touchscreen part of the time, but it's hard to take your hands off the keyboard, and if you're doing
yes.
something like that and use a touchscreen, it's much easier to just grab the mouse.
Yeah, it is. It is. And wireless mice work that very nicely. Hey, thank you so much. I don't want you running into anything, Ben, while you're talking to us here, especially since you're driving a combine right now.
Just got to watch out for that rip.
I'm unloading in the truck right now.
All right. So you got a little break time. Ben, thanks so much for being with us.
Okay.
Good talking to you. That's Ben Carpenter from Mountain Adrian Way. He's been a guest here in studio. He's a great caller. Delighted to hear from him. All right, let's go to Harold. Hey, Harold in Madison Heights. How you doing, Harold? What can we do for you?
We're doing pretty good. I'm got a little problem.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but the Rabbit's anti-malware that's on your toolbox.
How do you... Rabbi?
That's the way I pronounce it.
How do you spell it?
I don't know. The one that's in the toolbox, anyway.
It's in the toolkit. Okay,
right.
We'll have to look in there because I don't remember any rabbinical ones.
Well, I'm not pronouncing it the way you
that's
guys
right.
do.
That's right. Eddie can look in there under the toolkit. But it's an anti-malware software?
Right.
All right, I tell you what we'll do, Harold. You hang on the line, and then we're going to take the break, and we're going to look in the toolbox and see exactly what's in there. And we'll come back out and comment in just a minute, okay? Hang on the line, Harold. We'll be right back with you. Thank you. We're going to do a little bit of a break here. By the way, it gives us a chance to tell you that you can get your question here at 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957, the Internet Advisor at your service. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor and to your opportunity to get to a lot of great technical help very quickly by simply picking up your phone and dialing 800-859-0957. I might add, by the way, that the Internet Advisor here is on the air and offering this kind of immediate help for you folks who are in the Detroit area. Up until about mid-August, and that's when Michigan State University sports comes back in, and we are kind of hit and miss here on the air, although we still do the program, and we still have a podcast, and we are still heard every Saturday on our affiliates. The ability to call in directly and ask a question like you can do now will be over by about the middle of August, so until the next spring. So please take advantage of this opportunity to talk to two very, very very capable tech experts, Shane and Ed, at 800-859-0957. Now, Harold is with us from Madison Heights. And Harold, one thing that we found out during the break is that you're visually impaired, right?
Right.
So when you say rabbi, man...
Well, it's just the way my computer...
That's the way the screen reader is reading it to you.
Correctly.
And while we looked in our toolkit, we can't identify anything in there. What I was asking the guys about, and I'm still kind of trying to research here, is... good anti-malware. What happened for Harold is that the trial period ended for that software. And so now you are basically without protection, right?
Well, yeah, I guess I am. I've had it running, had it for quite a long time, 2 or 3 years now. And the last update, it popped in as a trial version.
Okay, well then, that's happening, by the way, with a lot of the ones. ABG was one of our favorite ones to recommend, and it's changed. And Malwarebytes now.
Have you noticed? I was going to bring it up to Shane. Shane, have you noticed that? Well, Malwarebytes changed their entire interface engine.
It looks totally different now. Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
It is a different. It still does great scanning.
Yes. Even the free version.
Yes, it's an excellent one. Version. So, here's my thought for you.
Now, the question I had was, to correct this problem, should I just simply uninstall it and then reinstall a new version?
Guys?
A lot of times it won't let you do that. Sometimes it will recognize IP address, your email address. It will not let you do that. Or it will download a small bit of information, a cookie or something, into your computer that will say, oh, I've already been installed.
Well, but he could uninstall what he has and then potentially reinstall
something else. Yes. And,
yeah, you could do that.
Like Super Anti-Spyware, that is on the site to download.
Yep.
And that is free, and that is another good one, like Malwarebytes. and so forth.
Yeah, and we tend to overuse or talk about malware bytes quite a bit.
Yeah.
But super anti-spyware is also very good.
Is that a trialware kind of thing too?
Well, they all I mean, they all have the opportunity to get a full version and paid for it. I mean, they do, you know, make some money that way.
Right.
I mean,
so what you may want to do, Harold, is go into programs or your control panel and programs and features, which is what you use to add and remove programs.
Right.
And then your screen reader should have the ability to start reading off all the different programs that are listed in there so that you can identify the one that's expired, if you will.
Well, it has its own uninstall program.
Oh, so you can use start programs.
If it has its own uninstall program, I would suggest using that because it tends to get more.
And then, like Shane said, if you want, you could try Super Anti-Spyware and see if that helps.
Try that one because that's another good one to try, and let us know how it works for you, okay?
All right.
Harold, I'd be especially interested in your calling back to let us know how it works for the visually impaired. You know, how well the screen reader does with it, okay?
All right, thanks.
Thank you very much for giving us a call.
I wonder how the screen reader is going to identify it. You know,
it
should be like Super Anti-Spyware, how it rolls it off its
a
electronic
lot will depend,
tone.
From what I understand, for the visually impaired, a lot depends on the graphics on the page.
Mm-hmm.
If it's built so that it can be, it's got a fair amount of text that's pretty clean, then it can be read pretty easily. If it doesn't, you got a problem of having to sift through that. Cindy from Rochester Hills, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hi. I have a hardware question.
Sure.
I have an older Dell Studio laptop, and the power wire literally disintegrated. It fell apart. And I used other ones in the household to get power to the computer, but none of them would retain any power in the battery, so I can't use the laptop without the power strip directly connected to a power.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Dell website and I ordered a new power strip that was specifically for this laptop, but that also does not charge the battery. So I still can't use the laptop without being directly connected to a power source. I wondered if there was anything I could do with software-wise to make it recognize the new power strip.
Yeah, I mean, software-wise, no. You're new. Now, did you buy a... when we're talking power strip, you're talking about the AC adapter, the actual charger, the cord?
Yes.
Okay.
You're talking about the brick. It looks like a brick.
Yes. The new one's more slim,
slim
than the older one that came originally with
correct.
The laptop.
Did you get both, with the brick that came, did you get both sides of the brick? There's one side of the brick that plugs into the wall, and then there's another side
that goes into the computer.
That plugs into the computer, and that in turn also plugs into the brick.
Yes,
right.
I got both pieces.
Okay.
You got both pieces.
And just out of curiosity, how much did you end up paying for that?
I think it was about $109.
Yeah, and so you've just spent about the cost of half as much as a computer will cost. So, I mean, because more than likely what the issue could be was your battery.
Yeah.
And that would, if you buy it from the same place you just bought that, you're probably correct. That's nuts for paying that much for a charger.
That's shame.
Cindy,
that's
let me ask you this. Did you buy this in a store?
No, I bought it online
at Dell.com.
Yeah, they really do charge premium prices at Dell. And that's why I've used Amazon. And there are other sites you could do, PC Pit Stop.
Well, she's not too far from you, Shane.
I sell them in, I do not want to ruin Cindy's day, but I sell them in my store for about $30, $35. I'm sorry, Cindy. I'm sorry.
Cindy, here's a case. You live in Rochester Hills.
Right down 59.
Yeah. You're just off of 59. I would suggest you return the power brick that you got to Dell and then trot over to Shane's store, which is
It doesn't even sound like she needs a power brick. Her original one's working.
Yeah, we kind of went off on the whole on the AC adapter, but it sounds like your battery may also need to be replaced as well, Cindy.
Okay.
You know, because after a while, batteries don't accept a charge like they once did when they're younger.
Especially Dells. What they'll do is they'll basically turn themselves off and prevent themselves from charging anymore.
Now, there's one other thing that may have happened to you, and Eddie, this happened with my grandson's computer that we sent to you, and that is that the place where the power cord plugs into the computer might have somehow gotten broken.
Well,
and it might even be even be that mechanical piece there. It's not the brick. It's not the $109 brick.
That's the actual DC part of
right,
the
exactly.
computer. Now, let me ask you real quick, Cindy. What model is this studio? Is it a 1700? Do you know?
It's the XLS 13.
It's a 1300 series?
Right.
Okay. 1340. Yeah, it's an XPS. 13, probably 1340.
Yeah, yeah. I have a Dell XPS right in front of me, the 13, though, but it's the ultra thin.
Okay. I do not have the ultra thin.
Right.
But
mine's heavy.
Two points here, and for the rest of you listening, we want to speak badly of Dell, and if you want to buy Dell products, that's fine. You will find that they are extremely expensive compared to what you can get for a comparable product that will work well with your computer.
And it might even be an OEM Dell product, used.
Exactly. So you can get things in different places online, but again, when you got a good shop nearby you, like Wayne, like Shane's place at Comtech, please, I would say take advantage of that.
And you won't find batteries really in the stores. They just don't carry them.
No.
I mean, if you do the math, there's thousands of different types of laptops and thousands of different types.
Oh.
It would be a store the size of Home Depot to carry those batteries. So most places like us, we will order them from the vendor, and we'll get them in a couple days.
But you get them for a whole lot less than...
Yeah, but I do have the adapters in-house. I carry those because they're the same adapter for all their laptops, most of them.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's our recommendation to you, and I hope it doesn't sound self-serving, but really, you can spend an awful lot of money online going for the name brand OEM products when there are other alternatives. And when you take it into a shop, a reputable one like Shane's, they will also look and see if there are maybe another problem there that can
right.
be solved even more
easily. One of the other problems that can happen is sometimes with laptops, you could put a perfectly brand new battery in there, and the motherboard is still refusing to charge batteries. So at that point, you have a failed motherboard on your unit.
Yeah.
And there's no way to tell unless you plug a battery in there and find
right.
out.
And those are the kind of things that they can test for you, okay?
Okay, very good.
Thank you. And by the way, if you go to Shane's shop, make sure you tell them that you're a listener when you come in.
Yeah, right when you walk in.
Yeah, he wants to know that.
I might even give you a discount, right?
All right,
Cindy.
And the name of Shane's shop?
Comtech Services on Shaner and 19.
And if you want to find out more about that, go to our homepage, internetadvisor.net.
I'm there.
Right down to the bottom to the, we have your trusted computer repair shops, and it's in there, okay?
All right, thank you so much.
All right. Hey, back in just a minute to see if we can help Kevin from Toledo with his problem and maybe time for yours as well. I would like to thank Crystal Price, who's done a wonderful job answering the phone. She is the pleasant voice you hear when you give us a call. And thank you much also to Rich Luzinski, who's our man behind the board, our engineer here, making it possible for us to be able to stream our comments to you. By the way, speaking of comments, the show notes on the screen, on our homepage at internetadvisor.net will be complete. I'll be adding a few more things that we picked up during the program. Say, for instance, some hints on software sites and things like that. I add them into the show notes, so it's a valuable resource for you. And then by Sunday night, we'll post the podcast, and in addition to that, we'll also break down the different interviews so you can listen to the interview, for instance, on the Nain Rouge or on the Darknet. And you don't have to listen to the entire or hunt through the entire broadcast, the podcast rather, to find those. So it's a new service we're doing and hoping that you like that as well as Michigan Technology News with Mike Brennan. That's also in there. All right, guys, let's go back and talk with Kevin, who's calling us from Toledo. And Kevin, how may we help you here on the Internet Advisor?
Gentlemen, I have just been appointed state chairman for a bowling tournament.
Uh-huh.
And it is one of these things where, like the Pope, you're stuck with it for life.
Somebody volunteered you when you were out of the room, huh?
just about. Just got done speaking with the past chairman, and I'm going to need to get basic laptop and basic printer that I can take from one bowling establishment to another bowling establishment.
Right.
But I need something fairly simple because my computer training still dealt with punch cards when I was in college 35 years ago. I can do email, that type stuff.
Sure,
and
sure.
There's one program that I have to buy so that it plugs into their website and it this and that, which I can understand. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can walk my way through it. But this is not for gaming. I'm not going on video chat.
Sure.
I don't need top line.
Just, it's a quick question for you about that, that particular software. Is that adaptable to Windows and to Apple? Do you know?
Probably, quite probably. I'm only familiar, though, personally with Windows.
Okay, good. That's, I just wanted to ask. Well, sometimes they're unique to a particular system.
And the software, are you sure it's software or is it a spreadsheet that you can, I mean, do you, because I was wondering if a tablet wouldn't be more suitable for someone that's going to do traveling from area to area to area if the software was available in tablet format.
You know, Eddie, if they do, I would suggest that the what they call the hybrids, which is a combination of the tablet, like the one I have with the Microsoft Surface Pro, where you have a keyboard that snaps on that's also the cover, but you can take it off and you can use it as a tablet. Now, there are plenty of other ones out there, those Toshibas and HPs and things like that, that are the same thing, but they're a hybrid, Kev.
Okay.
What that means is that you can actually take the keyboard off of it and use it as a tablet if, you know, you're out someplace, you know, keeping track of scores, for instance, or something like that.
Right. I just, you're looking at a guy who, the bigger it can be, the better, because I'm way too vain to have my glasses on most of the time.
Could you handle 13 inches, the screen?
It probably, but I'd prefer to even go bigger, because even the bigger the keyboard's going to be, the easier it's going to be.
We're talking about a man that can hurl a 16-pound bowling ball down an alley.
You're right.
He's going to want
15-6 at least.
Yeah. 15 inches.
I think he can handle a laptop.
Yeah.
So, Shane, what do you think?
You know, I mean, I'm a Lenovo IBM lackey. I love Lenovo. Yeah. I do. I always have.
And your store offers they offer great warranties.
But yeah, I mean, Lenovo's great because, for one, they seem to be the company that actually puts some quality into their product and thought into their product.
Yeah.
It's not always cost.
When they took his IBM ThinkPads over, they really kept the quality there.
And it's not always about cost. And, like, you know, some, you can walk into a big box store and see tons of cheap, you know, $300 laptops.
Yeah.
The problem is they're cost-driven.
The problem is they're $300 laptops.
Cheap parts, and, you know, they're not going to take those bowling trips very well.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to be hauling yours around. You want something that's pretty durable.
Yeah.
The keyboards on the Lenovo's, that were the old ThinkPads, for instance, are beautiful. They're a great feel to them.
Yeah, what kind of budget do you have, Kevin?
My own personal pocket. Oh. And to give you an idea, the program is $3.
So it's $300 for the program. Is this a bowling-type program?
Yes, sir.
And it's kind of a league. It's like a league program.
Right, and it's compatible with most of the bowling centers, so that as I enter things into it, let's say we go to the ABC bowling alley for this tournament, and this is going to be used 10, 12, 14 weeks a year.
Yeah. Okay,
I can take it into a thumb drive, flash drive, whatever you call it. I could hand it to them. And since somebody in the bowling industry decided we're not going to use paper and pencil anymore, all of a sudden all the names appear on these screens.
Right. Well, listen, I think you want something that's durable.
Yeah, durable.
I think you want something that's fairly lightweight.
Sounds inexpensive.
Because you're going to be hauling around.
Looking for something expensive as well.
Yeah, that's going to be putting a little bit more of a price tag
on it. Well, I'm probably going to direct him more towards an off-lease option.
Tell us what the listeners what an off lease means.
What it is is you're going to get a high quality business grade machine that was leased, you know, for 18 months or 24 months, and they're normally, like the ones that we carry, are normally A grade, which are mint condition. You probably couldn't even tell the difference between a brand new one and these off lease ones. They come with Windows 7 or Windows 8, whichever you like. And what you do is you're going to get this high quality machine that someone's already took the initial cost out of it by leasing it.
Yeah.
So you get it at a much fair price.
What price range? For a 15-inch?
For a 15.6-inch off-lease machine that's a high-quality, good machine, in the $500 range.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
No.
Wow.
I mean, you can go, sure, you can go.
What kind of warranties on that?
Well, some of them still have manufacturer's warranty left on them. And some don't. The ones that don't offer any warranty, we'll offer them a 90-day. But here's the thing that people don't realize: is these business grade machines, they are workhorses. They're made to last. And in all the years that I've sold these off lease machines, where we'll pick in the ones that we carry, I can count on maybe two fingers. Years have come back with problems.
Okay, now here's the thing for Kev. He's in Toledo. Yes. You're in Sterling Heights. Are there places online you can look for this kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, if you just go on to Bing and search for, you know, computer repair or computer sales off lease Toledo, you may find, you know, three or four, several. Look on Yelp. Go to Yelp and find out. Look for reviews. People will review your local computer centers.
Well, actually, Sterling's not that far away because DeLora Brothers, which is one of the biggest suppliers for the Boeing industry, is like 16 miles.
Or
15 miles.
Yeah, well you're right in the neighborhood.
Then you're, you know, and like I said, I don't always just promote my stuff. Wherever you are, and there's always good techs and good salesmen. If you're in the area, fine, stop by.
Yep.
But a lot of places will carry off-lease machines.
And off-lease is the key here.
Yes, and what'll happen is, I'll explain it real quick,
sure,
is a hospital, say Beaumont, will lease, you know, 20 laptops for those mobile nurses stations.
Yeah.
They're lightly used. They're not going home with people. They're clean. And then once the leases are up, Lenovo will bring them back in-house. We're a Lenovo partner. They'll call me and say, hey, Shane, I've got this amount ready for you next month. What do you think? And I'll go out and do the research. I'll look for any recalls, any customer complaints, reviews. Mm-hmm. And if they meet my standards, then they come into the store. So...
Well, thank you for your time, gentlemen.
You're most welcome.
Oh, you're very welcome, and I hope you have much success in that. Let us know by email how things go. Okay, Kev?
Very good. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, folks, very much. We got a great program in the bag today, and as I said, and by Sunday night, tomorrow night, we should have the program wrapped up and the podcast ready for you there. And to the folks in our affiliates, you'll be catching this probably next week. Thank you very much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor. Don't forget our homepage is internetadvisor.net. Shane, thank you so much for being here.
Go so by so fast.
I know
it does. You're welcome.
Eddie, thank you so much.
I'm going to have to do that deck after all.
Cook a few more laptops for us. Thank you. Crystal and Rich, thank you again for all of your helps. On behalf of Gary Baker and all the rest of the crew here, I'm Foster Brown. Have yourself a great week and stay connected. And stay away from that dark net, okay? Have a good week.